Hello, this is Pete Beck III with ThirdPeter.com. Welcome to today's podcast, which is part six of my series entitled, How Can We Escape Pervasive Deception? This one is entitled, The Amazing Firmament. My recent studies of the firmament have left me amazed, filled with joy, and worshipful. Sometimes God's truth lies right under our noses, but we just cannot see it. Much of our problem in the West stems from our scientific worldview. In this case, the problem has been augmented by translators' bias. All of us bring our established ways of viewing our world and reality to our study of the Bible. We cannot help this, generally speaking. But students of the Bible are charged with allowing the Bible to say what it means instead of what we would like for it to say. Years ago, a friend humorously told me a truth that has stayed with me. When God revealed himself to Moses, he told him, "I am who I am." He did not say, as many insist today, "I am who you want me to be." Translator's bias jumps off the pages of most versions when it comes to the Hebrew word rakia, which literally means something like hard, beaten out metal. In Genesis 1:8, God called the firmament, the rakia, heaven, shamayim. He used the firmament to separate the waters, mayim, below from those above. So the firmament there above the firmament there was and is water. Psalm 148, 4. The Shemayim contains Mayim. Therefore, the firmament must be hard and strong enough to support the enormous weight of untold amounts of water, some of which were released upon the earth in judgment during the great flood. Genesis 7, 11 and 12. Interestingly, the translators of my beloved New Living Translation, in their attempt to explain difficult concepts in modern language and terms, took the liberty to translate mayim as water vapor. Normally, I like it when they do this sort of thing, especially when it comes to theological terms such as justification. But in this case, they did us a disservice. And that's why I advise people to read the Bible with a dynamic equivalency translation, such as the NLT, in one hand, and a literal rendering, such as the NKJV or NASB, in the other. Mayim means waters or flood, not vapor. Almost all translators choose words for rakia, firmament, that are more palatable to our scientific worldview imposed upon us by our culture and education system. Check it out for yourselves. The NASB, ESV, and NET, my go-to versions for literal renderings, all use the word expanse, which communicates nothing of the hard and strong nature of the firmament. The KJV and New King James Version are faithful to Hebrew and use the word firmament to communicate its solidity and strength. This leaves us, who have been indoctrinated with the scientific worldview from childhood, in a quandary. Do we believe the Bible is true as written, or do we modify it to accommodate our bias? As for me, when I stand before God one day, I would rather he tell me that I took him too literally than have him question why I altered his words. Jesus said in Matthew 22:29, your mistake is that you don't know the scriptures and you don't know the power of God. The Bible has some amazing revelations about the firmament besides its strength. The first place is in Exodus, when God invited Moses and the elders of Israel to dine with him. What? I'll read it, Exodus 24, 9 through 11. Then Moses went up, also Aaron, Nadab, and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel, and they saw the God of Israel. And there was under his feet, as it were, a paved work of sapphire stone. And it was like the very heavens in its clarity. But on the nobles of the children of Israel, he did not lay his hand. So they saw God and they ate and drank. Where were they? Obviously, they were no longer on Mount Sinai. It seems that God pulled them into heaven, much as he did for Ezekiel and John the Revelator later. Below are verses that describe those occasions. The first one, Ezekiel 1, 22 through 28. Let me read this. The likeness of the firmament above the heads of the living creatures was like the color of an awesome crystal stretched out over their heads. And under the firmament, their wings spread out straight, one toward another. Each one had two which covered one side, and each one had two which covered the other side of the body. And when they went, I heard the noise of their wings like the noise of many waters, like the voice of the Almighty, a tumult like the noise of an army. And when they stood still, they let down their wings. A voice came from above the firmament that was over their heads. Whenever they stood, they let down their wings, and above the firmament overheads was the likeness of a throne in appearance like a sapphire stone. And on the likeness of the throne was a likeness with the appearance of a man high above it. And also from the appearance of his waist and upward, I saw, as it were, the color of amber with the appearance of fire all around and within it, and from the appearance of his waist and downward, as it were, the appearance of fire with brightness all around. Like the appearance of a rainbow in a cloud on a rainy day, so was the appearance of the brightness all around it. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. And when I saw it, I fell on my face. And I heard a voice of one speaking. That's the New King James Version. Now I'm going to read from Revelation 4, verses 2 through 6. Immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne set in heaven, and one sat upon the throne. And he who sat there was like a jasper and a sardius stone in appearance. And there was a rainbow around the throne in appearance like an emerald. Around the throne were 24 thrones, and on the thrones I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white robes, and they had crowns of gold on their heads. And from the throne proceeded lightnings, thunderings, and voices. Seven lamps of fire were burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. Before the throne, there was a sea of glass like crystal. In the midst of the throne and around the throne were four living creatures full of eyes in front and in back. If you're like me, I have tended to not pay great attention to these verses because they seem so otherworldly, impractical, and loaded with unfathomable symbolism. Once I started taking the existence of the firmament seriously, however, I began to see that these verses describe a heavenly reality. Below are some significant insights they give us. God inhabits a place where the hard pavement has a clarity like the sky, the color of sapphire. From below, the firmament looks like crystal. The Hebrew word here is kerak, which literally means frost or ice. The word for crystal from Revelation 5, 6 uses the Greek word krustalos, which means congealed or transparent, and is derived from a root word for frost. God's throne rests on this sapphire-like pavement of the firmament, and is also the color of sapphire. John likened the firmament below it to a sea of glass. The one who sits on the throne must be our Lord Jesus himself. In Exodus and Ezekiel, this would have been a pre-incarnate theophany of the eternal Logos. We know from our Lord Jesus himself that God is a spirit whom heaven cannot contain, but Jesus acquired a human body and has been given authority to judge. It is he who sits on the throne as the glorious Son of Man prophesied by Daniel. The rainbow appears at God's throne, which reveals what an abomination it is that an inversion and corruption of this symbol now represents something quite anti-God. God told us that every matter or word will be confirmed out of the mouths of two or three witnesses, Matthew 18:16. Therefore, I believe he wants us to accept these verses as describing reality, not some uncertain symbolism. If we do this, we will see other verses in a new light. When God says he will roll up or split apart the heavens like a scroll, he means he will peel back the firmament to reveal the one who sits on the throne, Isaiah 34:4 and Revelation 6:14. At that point in history, every eye shall see him. The one who ascended through the heavens after his resurrection, Ephesians 4:10, will be revealed when the heavens are no more. Then God will create a new heaven and a new earth, 2 Peter 3:13. Glory to God. What a day that will be. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.